About the soap.
Anyway, we're back here talking Raiders football, and we now are going out on our newsmaker line if our guest hasn't hung up because of our terrible humor, and that is the USA Today NFL writer Nate Davis. You can follow him on Twitter at by Nate Davis. Of course, he does the popular NFL power rankings. Nate, thanks for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you put out the latest rankings, despite the fact that the Ravens still haven't played. You had to forge ahead. You got a job to do. You got to get it done. Not a surprise in the AFC where we're focusing on Steelers and Chiefs 1 and 2. You have the Raiders at number 18, down from 14 last week after that terrible loss by the to the Falcons. And you have the Falcons actually rated right above them at 17. Talk about from a national perspective, because we're in this vacuum of Raider Nation. We're the flagship station. We get people calling in. Everybody's really disappointed what happened. But from a national point of view, when you look at this Raiders team, they're obviously better than last year, but they started to get a little bit of love. Where do you think this team is at overall when you look at them in the AFC?
Well, guys, I was pretty optimistic about them kind of, up to this point. And certainly I think you kind of fall more in love with the Raiders, at least, from that national perspective when you're watching them play the Chiefs and beating them once and playing them tough a second time. But I think what kind of maybe doesn't get the attention is some of the team's flaws. And certainly when you see a result like what happened in Atlanta, it took me back to last year where the Raiders were 6-4 at the same point in the season. And they go out to the New York and get whipped by a average at best Jets team, 34-3, and then the Raiders end up 7-9, and you kind of wonder, is this a deja vu situation? You would think they wouldn't have any trouble handling the Jets this week, but I look back, I was surprised to see the Raiders haven't won in New York against the Jets anyway since 1996. That's six in a row they lost to the Jets out on the East Coast. So, for whatever that's worth, I thought it was an interesting nugget, but, I think Sunday was one of those games where nothing went right. It's not like Derek Carr turned the ball over four times. But as well as this team matches up with somebody like Kansas City, obviously there are still issues. And certainly I think you start on the defensive side of the ball.
Not that I want to go too far ahead because you can only take it one game at a time. But after the Jets, the Colts are one of the teams that are up for the Raiders, the Dolphins. You have the Dolphins at number 10 and the Colts at number 13. Explain to Raider Nation how good those two teams really are.
Yeah, I like Miami. They've played really well kind of since the first couple weeks of the season. And I think Brian Flores really has that team headed in the right direction, big picture. And I think he's going to be – he already is a really good coach in this league. Shoots his players straight, tells the truth, and has a – I think has a really good program building there. So that's going to be a tough game. And then the Colts, hard to know what you're going to get out of them week in, week out. I mean, certainly a good team. Looked good beating the Packers a week ago, but I thought they would lose the second game to the Titans because I thought they got some good breaks in the first one. Great Raiders fans that have been there for a while know that Phillip Rivers against the Raiders should be fun to watch, but Phillip's kind of an up and down guy at this point as well. But I think both those teams, what you got to look at is defensively. The Dolphins are very good in terms of points allowed, and the Colts have been the number one defense for several stretches this season. So both of those are going to be very tough games for the Raiders. I'm sure the Chargers will. The Chargers game is never easy. I don't believe it was, earlier this season, 5-point win. So the Raiders are going to have to earn their way into the playoff field if they manage to do it.
Yeah, the Raiders currently in the number 9 spot. Of course, increased to 7 this year because of COVID. One question on another team, Nate, is the Browns. How do you feel about them making the push to the end of the season? I know in Cleveland it's a big deal just to get the winning record, but they have the Titans, Ravens, Giants, Jets, and then Steelers, of course, to end the season on January 3rd. Do you think they're going to have enough to really lock up a playoff spot and get maybe a 10 wins in the AFC?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, this kind of bottom part of the AFC field is so tightly packed, and that's definitely a team I think Raiders fans are going to keep an eye on. I mean, like the Raiders, the Browns have that winning record, but they've been outscored in net points in the season, and not just by a little bit. I mean, when the Browns lose, they lose in fantastic fashion. So kind of the same thing the Raiders fans have seen to some degree. But yeah, like you said it. I mean, they've got some tough games down the stretch. It'd be interesting to see. I think you said they've got Pittsburgh in week 17. You know, are the Steelers going to be playing for 16-0 in a top seed at that point, or is that a game where maybe the Steelers can hold some starters back? I mean, that's going to be a variable, but certainly, Raiders fans are going to be rooting against Cleveland as they try to get back up into the field and owning the tiebreaker on the Browns. That's a team that if you're the Raiders fans, you get a little hot. You know, maybe you could catch Cleveland.
Going back to this game against the Jets, how dangerous can they be since they are the only team in the league that hasn't won a game and, well, no professional wants to go 0 for the season?
Yeah, no, nobody does, but the weird thing about the Jets, we're all talking about Trevor Lawrence going there if they end up, finishing with the 0-16, and I guess you could say the Jets can't afford to lose a game because if they do, Jacksonville then goes into that number one spot for next year's draft. But the really odd thing I've noticed about the Jets is they've been much more competitive with Joe Flacco playing quarterback than they have been with Sam Darnold. And, maybe part of that, too, is that Adam Gase resumed the play calling with Sam Darnold. They'd given it up to their offensive coordinator, Dow Loggins, with Flacco under center. So, frankly, I think it's an easier game for the Raiders with Darnold, just given the way that he's been playing versus Flacco. I know Sam had a pretty good game against Raiders last year, but there's just so little firepower on that offense. A defense, obviously, we all saw them lose Jamal Adams and Leonard Williams over the course of the last year. Just make a lot of dumb plays and boneheaded penalties with Greg Williams there. So you sure would think this is going to be a get-right week for the Raiders.
Again, we're joined by Nate Davis from USA Today. And, Nate, looking around the league, one of the really kind of sore spots for the Raiders fans has been around the treatment of the team over its COVID protocol mishaps, if you will. And there's no questioning the Raiders did, and they got punished. They lost a draft pick for it. Then you see the current situation with Baltimore. You've seen some other situations with the Saints where the punishments, and I know the Ravens are still kind of in the middle of it, so it's hard to kind of pass judgment, but we've heard things about trainers not wearing masks and all this stuff. How important is it for the league at this time to be consistent versus saving games and saving the seasons? Are they in a no-win situation, or do you see any of the point of some of those Raider fans, which is maybe not everybody's treated equally?
Well, I don't think everyone is necessary. I don't think that they've been treated equally is the way I'd frame it. But mm-hmm. I think for the league, it's kind of a case by case basis. I know a lot of people have wanted to draw comparisons between this Ravens-Steelers game getting pushed back a number of times and the Broncos being forced to play on Sunday without any quarterbacks. But that was a situation where the Broncos had the contract creasing in the issue within their quarterback room and not throughout the entire roster. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a transmission deal ongoing with the team, which is what the Ravens are undergoing right now. And I think that's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, the league was pretty transparent from the front, saying that, look, there's probably going to be inequities over the course of the season, the way things play out, just again, based on kind of the case-by-case of what each team goes through and what their situation is. But the league has also, I think, done a good job trying to stay on top of these teams and issuing memos every week saying, these are what you got to do to adhere to the protocols, and, it's on you guys to follow them. And I don't think there's a whole lot of sympathy when teams break those rules. And the mm-hmm. Raiders have seen it. That's really Broncos fans are feeling it this week. But by the same token, that their guys messed up. And, from what I understand, weren't necessarily very honest about it. But I think overall, I got to say, and I don't necessarily like being the guy that defends the NFL, but I think the way this season has gone and 32 teams not operating in a bubble – it's been a little rough the last couple of weeks, but overall, I think you have to say it's been a pretty successful season to this point, the way the league's managed to manage the pandemic.
The NFL said that they had that week 18 available, that if they had to go to it, they could go to it. Do you see a scenario where they end up eventually going to that week 18, or do you think they're going to find a way to get them in the normal 17 weeks?
Well, I think it's so hard to know. I mean, are there going to be more outbreaks among teams, or is it just going to be one or two guys that are missing games for teams? How important are the games? If it's a Jets game against whomever, that doesn't really have a whole lot of ramifications. Do you extend the season to week 18 just to get the full 256 in? So I think the NFL has probably been smart too and not boxing itself into too many. This is what we're going to do if situations and just playing it by ear. But, I mean, I think that's also a reason that they really wanted to get this Steelers-Ravens game in. It's just because there are so many playoff ramifications, and I think that is the kind of game that, if for whatever reason, if it couldn't be played tomorrow, that you would create a Week 18. But if you do that, too, I mean, you're talking about a lot of playoff teams actually getting a de facto bye and a top seed probably getting 2 weeks off, which they don't necessarily want to do. So there's just such a fluid calculus with this that it's so hard to predict right now what's going to happen week 17 and or week 18 if that happens.
Yeah, no question. And Nate, before we let you go, and I hope that this is the last ever COVID question, because we hope to have you on down the line again, but I hope this is the last COVID question I have ever to ask you. But is there any indication from your sources in the NFL that they might consider some sort of kind of hybrid bubble or something like that for the playoffs?
I think everything is kind of on the table, you know, whether it be the regional bubbles or having teams basically put a bubble wrap themselves, you know, in their home cities to a more stringent degree than they do right now. I mean, I know it's something that Sean Payton has been talking about. You know, he floated this months ago. Mm-hmm. But I think the league is going to look at its options. And again, I think the league has been smart in that it hasn't committed itself necessarily to any certain direction. You know, it's hard, I don't know what the Super Bowl plans are, but my understanding is that it's possible that the teams are going to be flying into Tampa, you know, maybe a couple days beforehand, as opposed to what we're used to and seeing you know, teams come in on Sunday or Monday beforehand and spending the week down there. You know, it's not going to be the media night and the media interviewing players all week. It's going to be more the same of what we've seen, those Zoom calls in limited capacity. And I think in some ways it's going to feel like, you know, it's a Super Bowl, but it's going to feel like another one of these games of 2020 where it's a three-quarters empty stadium and just not the pompous circumstance we're used to seeing. So, you know, it is what it is. Let's hope that we get through it and don't have any other major disruptions for the next 2 months before this thing wraps up.
Well said. Nate Davis, national NFL writer at USA Today. Follow him on Twitter at @by Nate Davis. Nate, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time today.
All right, pleasure. Good luck this weekend.
All right, there you go. Nate Davis. Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
He's got such a good national view. I think that's the one thing, too. You know, we talk Raiders every day with all of you amongst ourselves. And so to get some national perspective, not only on where the Raiders are, where the AFC is, and then, of course, how the league's going to progress through the rest of this season, Q, was eye-opening for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and it's one of those situations, man. You got to continue to monitor not just what the Raiders are doing, but the whole entire league and how everything is going as far as COVID-19, as far as these teams that are in front of the Raiders right now in playoff positions, because there's going to be a lot of jockeying down the stretch the last five games. So I love to always get a national view of everything going on in the NFL.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we return from the break, it's going to be time for some more of your phone calls, 702-365-9200. And then we'll get our dose of the Q-tip today on this Tuesday on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.